to all my readers. Thank you to all those who listened. At this time, I would like to introduce the first speaker, Bernice W., who will be speaking on Regardless Of, from the South Potomac area.
First of all, I would like to thank the convention, the God of my understanding, for allowing me to be here this evening. I'm kind of nervous. Okay, let me go ahead with it. My clean date is December 20th, 1989. I was considered a low-bottom drunk. I didn't know that, you know. I thought I was functional. I think I need to, let me go ahead and qualify myself. My last usage of any type of mood-altering drug was a bag of heroin that I snorted. I took to these people's job and I snorted it. I hit a pipe and ran out the door. So I do qualify, okay? I do qualify. At the time, the house that I was living in had 17 people in it, and the police came to jump offs. That's what they called them.
Yeah.
Okay? I had a metal stem in my pocket that I immediately placed into the cigarette pack that was in my pocket before the female officer got there. And when she searched me, she told me I had been to the beach. The beach was down the street, the park, because, you know, I had a 1 mile radius that I did not go out of because I thought I might miss out on something. And as I stated, I was staying in a house with 17 people. They had told me, I told my mother, they called CPS to tell her my girlfriend didn't use drugs. She flipped the script and called and told them that I was getting high. So it was suggested that I go away to treatment, which I did 120 miles from home. And from there, they brought me back into the county of Arlington, and I proceeded to get clean, a 90-day program that I completed. Regardless of how I feel, I do not have the privilege to use them, because God has given me this gift of recovery. I did not know about anywhere where an addict could go and get clean. You know, I thought once an addict, always an addict, and that I would die out there in my addiction. But I found out different, because I overheard someone telling somebody else where to go to detox. All I knew was that I saw people that was drunk walking around in there. But I found out that I could get clean and stay clean if I chose to. Regardless of how I feel about any situation, I have tools today if I choose to use them to stay sober. Regardless of what somebody does to me, I know how to turn the other cheek and keep walking. Since being in the program, I've learned how to be humble with situations that used to baffle me, because so many character defects I had when I came in, some of them I still have. I was about 2 to 3 years clean, and I could not even get out a complete sentence because I had used so much cocaine. But today I can get all my sentences out if I choose to. In spite of what's going on in my life, I have no right to use. I have a sponsor, I have a network, and I have people that I can talk to about what's going on with me. And that's something different. I don't know why she gave me this topic, and regardless of how I feel about any situation, I can think it through, because I know this up here does not work well, and I do not need to use it for anything except a playground. Because I can think of some of the wildest and some of the craziest stuff all by myself. I don't need no help from nobody, and thinking of outrageous things to do and say too. Because during my recovery, I've lost quite a few jobs because of my mouth. And once I lost a job because of what I wrote on the paper. Instead of me going on home, I wanted to express how I felt because I had to learn how to deal with being sick. and recovery. But today that's getting somewhat better. I have health ailments due to my using and getting older. Because I thought by the time I was 40, I would have checked out. But through God's grace, I'm still around. And I'm past 40. I just celebrated a birthday, okay? And I'm not going to tell what year it was. I'm going to keep that to myself. But I know I look good for my age. You know, regardless if my tail fall off, I was told to pick it up and put it back on. You know, to keep it simple, simple. And I have to remember some of those things. Because I work with a lot of my own people and working with them in different personalities. I was telling the guy I was going to Atlantic City, one of my coworkers, and he said, oh, my neighbor is too. He said, they got something going on in Ocean City. I'm in Ocean City, not Atlantic City. So it shows you I gamble. But that's okay today, just for today. But anyway, so he asked me, was anything going on? And I told him, not that I know of. Because, see, I didn't want him to know I was a recovering addict, because I knew before I told it to him good, it was going to be all over the building. You know, and I do have my anonymity today, you know. So I've learned how to keep somebody else's too. You know, I've learned how to be a friend. If you tell me something, I ain't going to run and tell nobody else. I'm going to keep it to myself, even though it might just tear me up. You know, ooh, no, she didn't. No, she didn't. Why'd she do that? Because we're all human, and we fall short, you know. And that's what I have to realize a lot of times, that I'm human, I fall short a lot of times. And it takes a lot of patience and tolerance for a person to really deal with me. But that's okay today, I'm getting a little bit better. And regardless of how I feel or how someone else feel about me, I still have to go on and do what I have to do, you know? I know how to reach out today to another individual that's in the need of help, you know, because when they said, keep coming back, more will be revealed. Everything has been revealed to me except how Narcotics Anonymous work. Nobody has told me how it works. All I know is that it does work. Anytime it works for an addict like me, because I never thought that I would get clean, be clean for a minute or two, and stay clean. And it's not as bad as my worst day out there in the lifestyle. Regardless of what happens, I have a sponsor, a network to keep things through rather than act out. And that's different, that I don't have to act out today, not as I choose to. And then if I choose to, I have to deal with the consequences. And today I have a conscience, something I never had before. Regardless of what's going on, somebody else in Narcotics Anonymous have experienced it. So there's no unique things that happening in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. Regardless of what season it is, if I'm going through a storm, I'm feeling good, I know I can make it through. Regardless of how I feel, it's only a feeling that it's not necessarily a fact. I started to write everything down I wanted to say. Regardless of what's going on, how it's going on, I can learn how to weather the storm. One of the old timeies, God bless her soul, she used to say, if you're going through a storm, you sit through the storm, and then you know how to get to the other side. And if you have to cry, go ahead and cry, snap, whatever you have to do. Because when I came in the rooms, I was a whiner. I used to whine. I whined for a long time. I whined so long that a friend of mine gave me a pen and said, no whining. And from whining, from one, and I started isolating. And I know the why I isolate too. I isolate when I'm doing my thing. I don't want to be bothered by the people in the NA, okay? So they can't say nothing about what I'm doing. And when I finish doing what I'm doing and my ass get on fire, I run up into a meeting, okay? Because I know where my help come from, for real, you know? But it's not as bad like it used to be. I don't isolate as much. I don't isolate as long as I used to isolate. So that shows you I don't have no business no more. You know, recovery has been real good to me. It's allowed me to have 3 grandchildren that they don't know anything about my youth. And, you know, all they know is what they see Grandma Bernice now. You know, I had stopped smoking. I started back smoking. And my youngest grandson, he said, "Oh, you're doing that again, huh?"
Oh, my.
I said, "Yeah." I took him to a meeting, and he figured it out. He said, "This is a rehabilitation thing." I said, "Yeah, grandmama needs to be rehabilitated if you want her to keep on shopping for you, okay?" You know, I don't have no secrets no more. I would rather for them to know that I had been out in the lifestyle than I'm still in the lifestyle. You know, because it was told to me that if I was to go back out, that I probably would die out there in my misery. You know, because I remember how hard it was get paid and the dope man could sit right there because all the money was going to be gone within a little bit of time. Then I'm looking stupid, don't have nothing to eat, no cigarettes to smoke, and for real, didn't have nowhere to stay. After I started hitting that crack, you know, I have been doing heroin for 19 years. I started off snorting and ended up using it intravenously and kicked the heroin habit smoking that damn crack. You know, and it didn't take as long for me to get some help because I could never get that first hit back. You know, I could never get it back. And I was only out there 3 years, okay? I had used this, that, and the other. But crack cocaine brought me into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. Okay, and haven't had me to turn my head, want to go back and see if I can get the hit. Okay, because now I've gotten a little too old, you know, to be out there, and they got a new game out there, because they used to call me Mama when I was in treatment. Now they call me Grandma, you know. It's just good to be alive today, you know, to have waken up this morning. Had plans to do something positive.
That's right.
You know, that means a lot. To see a lot of old friends, people I haven't seen for a while. Because, you know, I did a geographical cure. I'm going to cure my son from Virginia, okay? Because them people in Virginia treat him real bad. They did get me clean, you know, so I owe the state of Virginia for that. But Lord knows they was giving that boy time like I don't know what. So I moved to Maryland. And I've been there nearly 3 years, and it's been a good experience. You know, it took me a minute to get out there and find out where meetings was. The first place I went to was D.C., though, because, you know, that was some of my old stomping grounds. But anyway, so I started going to meetings in Maryland. I don't know my next door neighbor's name. I don't know none of my neighbor's names. But that's okay. You know, because I go in my house where I pay the bills. I go ahead and I go about my business, and I don't have any problems with anybody because I don't carry myself like that. You know, I used to think I was a gangster, you know. But I was no gangster. I was just trying to survive because a lot of men didn't like me because I had an attitude and I talked a lot of stuff. You know, they say they going over my house and they said, "Well, I ain't going over that so-and-so's house because I'm going to have to cuss out." True. Because, see, that's who I started getting high with, was the men. I thought, you know, it would be a little hush-hush. but men talk too, so it didn't make any difference. Everybody and their mama knew that I was out there in the lifestyle, okay, that I was using. In spite of my past, I am who I am, you know, and that's for real. You know, I'm not the chick that came in here weighing 170 pounds, didn't have but one feeling, was so messed up that I didn't know what to do if the chair was my addiction. I was supposed to take that chair and threw it out the window, let them people put me out, but I didn't even do that. I was emotionless. I was void, you know. I was void spiritually, physical, and mentally, and still mentally sometimes. Depends on what day it is and how I feel. But anyway, I was really void, you know, and I had to find something to fill those voids once the drugs and alcohol was gone. I know this is an NA meeting, but I have to think about my last days of using. In order for me to go to sleep at night, I had to have a fifth of wine. I would drink that wine and throw the bottle in the dresser drawer because I was so embarrassed. You know, it took a while for me to admit that alcohol was a drug too. Because see, I knew I had a problem with drugs. There was no doubt in my mind, none whatsoever. But I wanted to hold on to them small liquor beers. And so I went back out and did another year's research. You know, I'm not gonna say I relapsed, because I didn't relapse because I never came in the program. I was just there physically. But after doing that research for another year, I didn't have no problems in saying my name is Bernice and I'm an alcoholic. You know, but I had to do the research. I had to do it for me because I'm one of them hard-headed sisters. If you tell someone, I probably won't believe it. But that's all good today. And thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Bernice, for sharing. At this time, I'd like to introduce our second speaker, Brian Kay from Tri-County, who will be sharing with us, who will be talking about, this is a long one, with this gift, there's an assignment.
Good luck.
Thank you. I'm Brian, I'm an addict. And it's such an honor to be asked to share at this convention. Every time that a program committee asks me to come and share at a convention, I kind of like think, like, do they know how crazy I really am? Like, what are they thinking?